And there, we'll read a few verses. We're going to read verses 16 down through verse number 23. The Bible said, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it on it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And so we're going to look at these verses tonight, maybe a little bit differently than the way we have been, but we're going to look at them nevertheless. This is the 86th lesson that we've been in the book of Mark. And before I give you the title for tonight, I want to just review a little bit. We had a missionary last week. Seems like we've been a couple of weeks since we've been in Mark chapter number 15, but if you just think about or maybe go back to the beginning of the chapter in chapter number 15, verses 1 through 6, you remember we studied about Pilate. And when we studied about Pilate, he was confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. And from the moment that he was confronted with Jesus and what to do with him, he had to make a decision of what he was going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate, like a lot of people do, he tried to get rid of him. He sent him away. But as we studied, and we might remember, the Lord Jesus came back. He had to do something with the Lord Jesus Christ. He tried to put it off on the others to make a decision so that he didn't have to make the decision. Mark chapter 15, verse 9 said, But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And so he presented, you know, surely you'd rather have Christ than have Barabbas. But you remember they chose Barabbas. And so he couldn't get away from doing something with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way all of us are. Once we're confronted with the cross, we have to do something. We have to make a personal decision. You can't send it away. You can't put it off on somebody else to make the decision for you. It has to be made personally. And so we studied about Pilate first of all. And then after that, we studied about Barabbas. Barabbas in Mark chapter 15 and verses 7 down through verse number 15. And we studied about Barabbas, how that the Lord Jesus became his substitute. And we talked about Barabbas, how Barabbas is like all of us. We're all sinners, just like Barabbas was. And we, like Barabbas, we need a substitute. And so we looked at Barabbas. Now tonight, and I've never noticed this before, but I see it now that I've studied verse by verse and just taken a few verses at a time. But tonight we're going to meet a third individual. And what is interesting about this, each of these individuals that we've looked at, we could say the same thing about all of them, what I'm going to say tonight. But in each of these individuals, Pilate, and then Barabbas, and then Simon, that's who we're going to see tonight. Simon, who the Bible says was a Cyrenian in verse number 21. Each of these people, the cross comes into their life. And when the cross comes into their life in one way or another, it affects their life for the rest of their life. And that's what the cross does. The cross will change us. The cross, when the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life, we all are going to be changed. We're all going to be affected. We'll never be the same, no matter what you do with it. Now, Pilate, going back to say a little bit about that, Pilate is a type of a sinner. He's a type of a sinner that considers what he's going to do with the Lord Jesus, but ultimately he rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, a lot of people do that. They're confronted with the gospel. They are presented with the truth. And after a struggle, after a time, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Pilate did. As much as he tried to get out of it and as much as he tried to wash his hands of the whole thing, he still was involved with the decision of what to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Pilate's a sinner and Pilate rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Barabbas is a picture of being saved by the grace of God. Boy, you talk about the grace of God. Barabbas was a sinner. Barabbas was deserving of the death sentence that was passed upon him. Barabbas was in prison, but you talk about the grace of God. Here come a substitute. And all of a sudden, Barabbas finds himself unchained, set free from prison. He's a free man. He was in bondage. Now he's set free, all because the substitute died in his place. And we can say the same testimony tonight. We're saved by the grace of God because we were undeserving. We deserved to die, but Jesus took our place. And so that's a picture of the grace of God. None of us are deserving of the grace of God. But when you experience the grace of God, you get what you did not deserve. That's grace. So I'm thankful for the grace of God. And we're all like Barabbas in that instance. Now, tonight we're going to look at this man that the Bible calls Simon a Cyrenian. And we're going to give this a title. I'm just going to call it this, Simon and the Cross. And when we look at Simon, what we find out is that Simon became a follower. Simon became a cross bearer. So you see the three pictures there, the three individuals. One's a sinner that rejects the grace of God. The other is a picture of a sinner saved by the grace of God. And then what would just naturally follow after that? Following Jesus, taking up our cross and following the Lord Jesus. And so that's what we have a picture of in Simon. And so we're going to look at these verses tonight and maybe not like we have been doing, just in detail, verse by verse by verse, but thinking about this individual, Simon and the cross. And we'll say, first of all, tonight, that Simon and the cross, it was an unexpected cross. Now, actually, there's two scenes in the passage of Scripture before us. There's one that knew all about the cross, and one man, he didn't know anything about the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ knew about the cross. He knew what was getting ready to happen. He knew he was getting ready to go to the cross. And everything that happens in this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, although it might look like he is being held captive or against his will and in the control of others, but actually the Lord Jesus Christ was in control the whole time. Do you remember when Pilate, I think it's in the book of John, Pilate said, and I'm paraphrasing in saying this, Pilate said to the Lord Jesus, why aren't you going to say anything? Don't you realize I have power? I have power to put you to death. And the Lord Jesus replied to Pilate and he said, you have no power except it were given of my Father. Pilate was not the one in control. The Lord was in control. And everything that is happening in this passage of Scripture was happening in fulfillment of what the Word of God said was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look in verse number 16. The Bible said this, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And so we find here in verse number 16 that the Lord Jesus Christ was led away. Led away into the hall. This is the outer court, or some writers I read after said this would sort of be like the barracks of the soldiers. But it's a place where the soldiers would meet and gather together, and they called together the whole band, the Bible says. And in verse number 17, the Bible said, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And what they're getting ready to do here, they are mocking him, they're torturing him is what they're doing. They're being cruel to the Lord Jesus. This was not anything that was required, even under the law that they had twisted and that they had ignored. But this is just people being cruel. What do? They mock the Lord Jesus Christ, and they plait a crown of thorns and they put it upon his head. And I remember when I was a little boy at Brushy Fork, somebody had went to the Holy Land and they brought back a crown of thorns, and it was in the basement, and it was probably a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and we were, me and some other boys, we were messing around and we got to playing with that crown of thorns, and it was big old long, about an inch long, hard as nails. And I remember picking that thing up and being surprised that it had poked one of us. You know, we was going to mess around and put it on each other's head, just seeing what that would feel like. And I don't think we got that far. I mean, you talk about sharp. I've never forgotten that. As I studied about this thorn, they said that these thorns, this thorn that it's talking about, would cause a festering sore to come about, that not only was it sharp and long and painful and all of that, but it had a poison that was in it. And you know, a lot of times, in fact, just this week, I was getting ready to do some mowing, and I had a big old thistle, you know what I'm talking about, probably 4 or 5 feet long, and it was hanging out where I was getting ready to mow, and I thought, boy, I need to get rid of that thing. And so I went and got a hoe, and I tried to be as careful as I could and chop it and throw it on the burn pile. And when I came down with my hoe, it bounced back up and hit my hand. And it immediately began to tingle, and I knew that it had gotten a hold of me. And I went in, I tried to wash my hands real quick, and that was probably 2 days ago. And we was coming to church tonight, and I told Kim, I said, my hand still feels funny. There's a poison in those things. There's something in them. And so you think about the crown that they placed upon the Lord Jesus, and not just the physical pain, but the poison of it and the festering of it. They said that it would cause a festering sore to come up upon a person to be pricked with one of these thorns. The Bible says they put it about his head. The Bible says in verse 18, they begin to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. That was his correct title. But when they are saluting him, they are doing that in mockery. They're making fun. Because Jesus claimed to be the King of the Jews. And so what are they doing? You know, oh, if you're the king. That's what they're doing. They're making fun. They're mocking. Verse number 19, verse number 20, the Bible said, and they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. They were doing all of this in mockery and derision. Verse 20, the Bible said, and when they'd mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And so we find the ill treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was studying over these verses this morning, I found there's no less than 8 different prophetic passages of Scripture that are being fulfilled in these few verses. And so if you go back to the Old Testament, and we'll not do that for sake of time, but I'll just mention quickly tonight different passages that are being fulfilled at this moment that we're reading about. If you study about Psalms chapter number 22, especially verses 6 and 7, it's prophetically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it talks about him being a reproach and despised of the people. And so that's what they did. They despised him. And to the Jewish people, he was a reproach, and they wanted to get rid of him. They despised, they hated him. Psalms chapter number 35, verses 15 through 17 talks about the soldiers with hypocritical mockers and those that are mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 69 in verse number 12 prophetically says about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was the song of the drunkards. You see these soldiers coming around and mocking and making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter number 49, verse number 7, it talked about to him whom man despiseth. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 6, the Bible said, I gave my back to the smiters. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being smitten. Isaiah 52 and verse number 14 said his visage was so marred more than any man. And you know, you see these pictures that are supposed to be of Christ on the cross. And there might be a little blood coming out of his head and maybe out of his palms, and might predict where he was pierced in his side. But actually, if you study out the beating that the Lord Jesus Christ took and what they used to do that, a cat of nine tails, it's called sometimes, and it would be a whip. And it would have pieces of bone or glass or metal entwined in the pieces that come out of it, and it would just tear the flesh off of a person. I believe it's Psalms chapter number 22. The Bible said that, talking about the Lord Jesus again, I may look and stare, and you could see the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ. His visage was so marred more than any man. He didn't even look like a person. It would have taken all the flesh off of his back. And his head would have been a bloody mess, and his face where they had beaten him and smitten him and beat him with their hands and beat him with a rod and all of these things. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 53 and verses 3 through 5, it talks about there, he was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. We're not even talking about that he had made it to the cross yet. But when he went to the cross, what a terrible sight that would have been. Micah chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." That's exactly what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. They smote him. They hit him with a rod upon his head and in his face and on his cheek. And so there's a lot of things prophetically. You know, why is this in the Bible? This is letting us know the Bible is true. Everything the Old Testament scriptures had prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ, they all came true. Not a one of them was left undone. The horrible things under the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you think about this passage of Scripture tonight, on one hand, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is being beaten and mocked and made fun of and spit upon and scourged and all of these things. But on the other hand, there's a man coming out of the country. His name is Simon. Can you see these two ways getting ready to meet here? I'm talking about the unexpected cross. Simon is not looking for this. Simon is not expecting this, as far as I can tell. And the Bible doesn't go into great detail, but verse number 21, the Bible said, "And they compel one Simon a Cyrenian who passed by." He was just going down the road. He passed by, coming out of the country. He had been out of the city of Jerusalem, and on that morning he was for some reason coming into the city of Jerusalem. That's what that means. He passed by, coming out of the country. He had been out of the city, into the country. He's coming into Jerusalem. The Bible tells us something else about him, that he's the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They compel him to bear his cross. And so we find Simon here. He's coming into town. He passes by. And can you imagine this in your mind? He's minding his own business. And some soldier yells out, "Hey, you, come here, come here." You see what I'm talking about? The unexpected cross. He wasn't looking for this. He wasn't a bystander. He didn't know anything about what was going on. If you study about cross bearing in the New Testament, there are two types of cross bearing that we find in the Bible. Two types. Of what it means to carry a cross. One is voluntary and free will, and we make a decision. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a decision that is one that is takes self-denial, and it involves following the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so that's voluntary. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Somebody made a decision. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus. They came to Jesus and they said, we want to follow you. And he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Are you sure you want to follow me? And a lot of them went back and followed him no more. But some did follow him. Some chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another type of bearing a cross that we find in the Bible, and it is involuntary, meaning that the person did not volunteer, but they ended up carrying the cross anyway, and that's Simon. He didn't volunteer. His carrying of the cross was circumstantial. What I mean by that, we might look at this and say, hey, he was just passing by. He wasn't a disciple. He didn't wake up that morning and expect to be carrying a cross in just a few hours. It was totally unexpected. Now, we that are saved by the grace of God, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe in the Word of God, we do not believe in accidents, do we? We do not believe in luck. Somebody said, boy, you sure were lucky. I don't believe in luck. I believe that God is sovereign. I believe God knows what our tomorrow holds, even though we do not. I believe God is able to work in all the circumstances of our lives. And so therefore, we do not believe in such a thing as luck or that we just get caught up in things and God didn't know anything about it. We believe that the Lord is sovereign. That means He's the King over all the affairs of our life. Because Jesus did the will of the Father, it cost Simon something. Do you know when people follow the will of God, it may cause a cross to come into somebody's life that they were not looking for? What I mean by that, when others obey the will of God, it may end up costing you something. When other people obey the will of God, it might end up costing you something. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You think about a missionary going to the field. You think about last Wednesday night, we had a missionary. He was born and raised in China, but he came to America and he married a Christian lady. And according to their testimony, she had surrendered to be a missionary. And so that's, I believe, the perfect will of God for their lives. But what about the parents of that young lady? When they go to China, and China being a communist country, and it being against the law over there, and you think about your daughter, you think about your granddaughter going to a country like that, and I asked the brother, I said, what would happen if they caught you? I don't know. They'd be in bad trouble. See, somebody following God's will costs somebody else. Somebody else is going to have to make a sacrifice. I thought the other day about when we left for Idaho. And the last stop we made, we pulled in to my grandparents' house where we live now. Went in and said goodbye. And my grandpa being old and not knowing that if we'd ever see him again, it'd never be the same. Getting in the vehicle and going down the road. When people follow the will of God, it costs other people. The Lord Jesus Christ was simply following the will of the Father. But we find out here that unexpectedly it cost Simon something. It was an uninspected cross. Sometimes somebody else following God's will cost you. You'll find out that you've got a cross to bear. And so Simon had a cross to bear. It was unexpected. Number two tonight, I think about this. It was unsolicited, meaning that Simon did not ask for it. Simon did not. Look what the Bible says. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian. That word compel there means that he did not offer, he did not volunteer. They made him do it. They made him bear the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word compelled, it means this. It means to press into service, to make somebody do something, whether they wanted to or not. Now, that word compelled is an interesting word. It's an old word. It goes back to the king of Persia. And he had, do you remember in our American history about the Pony Express? And they had different stations set up so they could get the mail in the fastest time frame possible, just before trains. And so the Pony Express didn't last very long, but they had posts along the way. And they would run as far and fast as they could to one place, and they'd get off, and somebody else would get on, and they'd go on till they got the mail through. Well, that's been around a long, long time. And the king of Persia had a similar system. He had messengers all around his kingdom set up, and they were ready to take the king's message at any time. And these messengers had authority that if they needed, they could take somebody's horse. You ever seen those police movies? And the policeman will run up to the car and he'll show his badge and he'll say, "Get out, I need your car right now." I don't know if that's legal or not, but the king of Persia had men that could do that. "I need your horse, I need your camel right now. I need you to take me somewhere." They had authority to do that. They could press somebody into service, whether they wanted to or not, whether they volunteered, whether they liked it or not. That's how Simon was. They compelled him to bear his cross. Sometimes a cross comes into our life that we never asked for, but we got it anyway. You ever had something come into your life like that? You didn't ask for it. You didn't volunteer for it. Here's how we are. We all see the need, but we want somebody else to do it. But sometimes the Lord puts it on us. And I've told this before. I remember when, how God laid on my heart to get into the radio ministry. And I was in a store today. And it's just amazing how the Lord uses things. And a lot of times people are listening and you don't even know anything about it. But I was in a store today and I had to give my name. And I gave my name and the lady said, "Wayne Greer." She said, "I ought to know that. I ought to know that. Why do I know that?" I said, "Maybe the radio." She said, "It is. That's where I know you from." She said, "I enjoy that. I appreciate that." But I remember before the Lord, I would never have wanted to be on the radio. It's not something that I'd ever desired or thought about, but I was working over at the college. And Blowing Rock had the little Christian radio station, and Gary Shue was on there. And I was working and listening to him one morning, and I was just being so blessed. And I said, "Lord, I just pray you just put more good preaching on the radio. Man, that just blesses my heart." And the Lord said, "You do it." And I remember arguing with the Lord. No, I didn't say I wanted to do it. I prayed for somebody else to do it. But the Lord said, "You do it." And it's been 20-some years now we've been on the radio, and I thank the Lord for that. But that's how a cross is sometimes. A cross comes into our life, and we didn't ask for it, but the Lord lays that on us anyway. And that's how Simon was. It was unexpected. He wasn't looking for it. It was unsolicited. He didn't ask for it. He was undesirable. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the scene in your mind if you were to be walking down the road and stumble upon this band of soldiers coming out of the city? And there we see there's a man in the midst, and it just doesn't even look like it's possible for him to be walking, let alone carrying a cross. The Lord Jesus would have looked just like a bloody mess. Meat, muscle, hanging off of his body, blood pouring down all around. Does that look like something you'd want to get involved in? Do you think people are running up and saying, you know, what's going on here? You talk about crossing the street and looking the other way. You might even, if you met that walking down the road, you might even turn around and go the other way. Undesirable. Who wants to be involved in anything like that? Nobody's running up, seeing what they can do. Nobody's asking if they can do anything. If they had asked for volunteers, nobody would have volunteered. You know, you don't see the multitudes today following the Lord Jesus Christ, do you? You talk about God, you talk about church, you talk about missions, you talk about things like that. These are things people are not very much interested in. They're not desiring. Now people will stand and talk to you all day about the Atlanta Braves. People stand and talk with you all day about football or golf or hunting or something like that. But you start to talk about the Lord and you start to talk about the things of God. A lot of people are just not interested. It is undesirable. They don't want anything. See, it takes the grace of God to be interested in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that interests me. I want to hear those songs. I want to hear that old story. You know the song we sing, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. It ought not to get old. It ought to be something that thrills us today. But for many people, it's undesirable. I'm sure it at first would have been undesirable to Simon. It was unexplained in verse number 21. The Bible said they compel one Simon to bear his cross. Unexplained. Nobody came along and said, now Simon, here's the situation and this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing this and this is why we picked you and we need you to carry this cross and this is where we're going and this is how long it's going to take and this is when you can expect to be back about your day and doing what you were doing before. Nobody came along and explained anything to Simon. If you're one of those Christians that has to have everything explained to you, you'll never fully follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the missionary we had a few weeks back, Craig Davidson, and he preached on a Sunday night, and he preached about faith. And I went back and listened to half of that message today. That's a good message. That's worth going back and listening to. Talking about faith. And what I was really looking for was that phrase that he said that he was so bad at. And what he said, I was a dock connector. But he said, I never could follow the Lord by faith as long as I was consumed with being a dock connector. And he talked about that he had to have everything figured out beforehand. But if you have to have everything figured out beforehand and you have to have all your questions answered beforehand, you'll never learn what it means to just follow by faith. Nobody explained to Simon what was going on. They compelled him to bear his cross. He did bear his cross. Nobody explained it to him. He's a good picture of following Christ. Just follow by faith. Just follow the orders of the Lord. I said to somebody the other day, if you took away the words what, when, why, where, how, or I have a question for you, if you took away those words from some people, they couldn't start a sentence. You know anybody like that? Everything they talk about begins with a question. How come you're doing that? Where are you going? I'll just say it's Chloe because she's not here. She's the world's worst. And I know where she got it from. I can't walk through the house. Daddy, where are you going? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? I told her the other day, I said, why do you ask so many questions? Some people, they have to just know everything about everything and they can't do anything until they have all the information. But the Lord calls us to follow Him by faith. Faith just follows and it doesn't have to be explained everything to. The cross was unexplained in Simon's life. Number five tonight, it was unavoidable. The Bible said they compel one Simon. There's one person that they picked out. The Bible doesn't tell us why. Why does God choose who He chooses? Why does God pick who He picks? Why do certain crosses come into some people's life? Why do some people have more problems than other people, it seems like? I don't know. I don't know. Some things in our life are just unavoidable, and they come into our lives and they change our lives for the rest of our lives. But there was one Simon, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And in Simon's life, there was no coming along and saying, well, let me pray about it, whether I want to do that or not. Fellas, maybe you ought to get somebody else. That's what we do. The Lord can show us something, and that's what we answer most of the time. Let me pray about it. I think you ought to get somebody else. Not to say that you don't have a choice in life, but sometimes you don't have a choice in life. Sometimes things come into our lives, and we just have to deal with it right then. And so it was unavoidable for Simon, but I want to go on tonight quickly and just say this in closing, that it might have been all of these things, but it was not unprofitable. Because look what the Bible says in verse number 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, isn't it interesting that it's mentioned there that Simon was a father? A father of Alexander and Rufus. And I don't know for 100% certain, but I do know that later on in the Bible, you do find men called Alexander and Rufus. And I just have to wonder in my mind that if this Simon was not the father of some of these men that we read about later on in the Bible. See, it was not unprofitable what Simon did. Sometimes the cross that we are called upon to carry in this life, although at that point in time it may not make sense and we may not understand it and we might like to avoid it if we can, but do you know that somebody is watching us bear a cross, carry a cross, and it's going to affect our children and our grandchildren? They are looking at how we deal with things that come into our lives. He's a father. And later on, these men are mentioned in the Bible. The cross that I bear today may impact my children, may impact their future, which also impacts my future. What if Simon had run away? Now, I read a few different commentaries that they say that tradition says that Simon became a devoted follower, but the Bible doesn't say that. There's some things we just don't know, but I do know you find Alexander and Rufus later on in the Bible, Romans. Romans talks about Rufus especially. But what I do in my life is going to affect my children for the good, for the bad. And so it's not an unprofitable thing. This cross comes into his life. Now, we're not going to totally leave out some of the other things in this passage of Scripture. This is a great passage of Scripture, and there's things being fulfilled as we read down through verses 16 through verse number 23, and verse 22 said, and they bring him unto the place Golgotha. I'll just say this. Some say the cross was in two pieces. Simon carried a piece and Jesus carried a piece. Some say they don't agree that anybody would bear the cross except for Jesus. I believe, as I've studied this out and read other passages, that Simon could have carried it part of the way and the Lord Jesus part of the way. I don't know. There's not a contradiction in the Bible. But I do find that Simon bared his cross, and I find other places where Jesus carried his cross. And so that's not a contradiction. It's just some interesting things that we find in the Bible. They bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. It's a place of death. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. This was a drink that had an alcoholic effect of numbing. But the Lord Jesus did not receive it. He didn't receive anything. They would give prisoners this to numb them so they wouldn't feel the pain. They were going out to be crucified. But the Lord Jesus didn't take anything. He took all the pain, all the reproach, all of the humiliation. He took all of it for you and I that we might be saved. What a price He paid. And so next time, Lord willing, we'll pick up and go a little bit farther. We find the Lord Jesus crucified and the events that took place while He was on the cross. And so this just takes Him right up to the place where they crucified Him. And so we'll leave off there tonight, and I appreciate your good attention. I hope you have gotten something out of it, something you can take and apply in your life. It'll be a help. It'll be a blessing. So.